Rabbi Mordechai was a very holy man. One day, he decided, the time has come for me to move to Eretz Yisrael. Since it was a very long journey from Ukraine, he brought very little with him. But there was one thing that he would not leave behind, his father's sukkah. This sukkah was very special. Many great Torah leaders had celebrated the holiday inside it. One could feel holiness in its very walls. Before Rabbi Mordechai left Poland, a rich man offered to buy the sukkah from him. The rich man understood how special this sukkah was. "I will pay you any price. Just sell me your holy sukkah," the man begged. But the Rebbe would not sell it. "This sukkah is my treasure," he answered. "It was given to me by my father." When he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Mordechai moved to Yerushalayim. His first winter there was unusually cold. Next door to the Rebbe lived a little girl named Hannah. That winter, she became very sick, and her family was poor. They did not have enough money to buy firewood to heat their house, but Hannah needed to be warm to get better. Every day, the Rebbe came to visit her. "How are you feeling today, Hannah?" he asked. "May Hashem bring you a quick and full recovery." But every day, little Hannah became sicker. The Rebbe prayed and prayed for her, but nothing seemed to help. "If only we had money to buy firewood," Hannah's worried parents told the Rebbe. "Maybe then she would get better." The Rebbe ran back to his house and opened his storage cabinet. He saw his precious sukkah sitting there. "There is no choice," he thought. He grabbed an axe and chopped up the sukkah into many small pieces. The Rebbe brought this wood to Hannah's house. "Here, I have this extra firewood in my house," he told her parents. "Please use it to heat your home. With Hashem's help, Hannah will have a speedy recovery." The parents gratefully accepted his gift, not knowing that it was the wood from his cherished sukkah. And that week, Hannah had a complete recovery from her illness. While treasuring a holy sukkah is very important, Rabbi Mordechai reminds us that the use of a sukkah to save a life is even more important. In the same way, even more important than the beauty and the design of the sukkah that we have outside of our synagogue this year, which we are indebted to Ken and his team for constructing, and Elaine and her team for beautifying. Even more important than having such an amazing sukkah are the life-giving lessons that it imparts to aid us in our walk with Hashem as disciples of Yeshua. And Ken, just to reassure you, I'm not suggesting we hack it up into little pieces today. Today, I would like to talk about one of those lessons that comes from the sukkah, one of those lessons in particular, and that is how the sukkah points to God, our protector. We live in a day and age when there is a lot of anxiety in the air. Miriam, my daughter Miriam, was sick for a couple of days this past week, and when she returned to school, her friend said, "Do you have Ebola?" Ay, 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 ay. There's a rumor going around that Ebola came to Goochland. Wherever we look, we hear about rumors of terrible things happening. Some of the headlines in today's Washington Post read, U.S.-led air war in Syria gets off to a difficult start. Fears about Ebola spread faster than the virus. Out of control, how the world failed to stop Ebola. Islamic State fighters are threatening to overrun Iraq's Anbar province. Where is leader Kim Jong-un? How to train kids for a world in which Siri is smarter than they are? And one of the most disturbing of all, Madeleine Albright is a huge Harry Potter nerd. As disciples of Yeshua, how do we walk as he walked in a world where every day TV programs, the internet, our email, newspapers and magazines, and the good people around us, all of whom are profoundly affected by this media, bombard us with negative images and stories that far overwhelm the positive ones we hear? How do we navigate through this as disciples of Yeshua? Do we turn it all off? I don't think it is possible to turn it all off in Richmond, Virginia. Then what do we do? The answer is that we return to the Sukkah, where we are reminded of God, our protector. If we do not have a physical Sukkah to sit in and eat in and sleep in, then we can imagine dwelling in a Sukkah. From ancient times, the Sukkah has been a symbol of the presence of God surrounding us and protecting us. King David says in Psalm 27, verses 1 through 5, Adonai is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Adonai is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh. And David had this experience. When my enemies and my foes attack me, and David had this experience, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, and David had this experience, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of Adonai, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of Adonai all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of Adonai and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his Sukkah. The Hebrew word there is Sukkah. Let's all say that line together. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his Sukkah. One more time. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his Sukkah. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. The Sukkah is a reminder of God's protection over our lives. It is a reminder, Bill and Chris and John and Sue and all of us here, that the Lord watches over us. When we sit in the Sukkah, Ken and Bill and Jason and Sandy, when we sit in the Sukkah, we should sense God's protection all around us. In the Talmud, Rabbi Eliezer states that the walls and the sechach, the roof of the Sukkah, by encircling us, commemorate the clouds of glory which encircled and protected the Israelites from the elements and the wild beasts of the desert. Rabbi Nachman made it his tradition to pray the following prayer on Sukkot while sitting in his little Sukkah. He said to Hashem, and let us all say this prayer together, may I perform this commandment of sitting in a Sukkah in happiness, good-heartedness, and perfect devotion as is fitting. Let us merit that by the commandment of sitting in a Sukkah, there be drawn upon us all the seven clouds of glory that enveloped the children of Israel in the desert. Spread the sukkah of your peace. By this, protect us and save us from every enemy, ambusher, and all sorts of foes that we have physically and spiritually who hate us. Remove Satan from before us and behind us, and let us take shelter in the shade of your protection. Boy, Rabbi Nachman knew a lot about spiritual warfare, didn't he? I'll tell you. It is because Yeshua, our master, internalized this lesson of the sukkah that he was fearless in dealing with men, monsters, and mishegas. He understood the power of his Father's protection. Yeshua prayed for us, you and me, when he said to Avinu, our Father in heaven, in John chapter 17, verses 15 and 18, Yeshua prayed, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Let me say that again. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. In a lot of traditional Christian thought, a high value, by the way, we can take that down. In a lot of traditional Christian thought, a high value is placed on retreating from the world, leaving the world, and ultimately leaving the world behind when we go to heaven. But that is not actually what Yeshua teaches, is it? Our master and the New Testament as a whole reflect the Jewish outlook that the Lord does not want to take us out of the world, but he wants us to be his light in the world so that he can establish his kingdom on this earth, the Malchut Hashem, the kingdom of God, on this earth, even here in Richmond, Virginia. The Bible's vision of the Acharit, the end, is not for us all to go to heaven, but for heaven to come down to earth. In Jewish thought, including Yeshua's thought, the Lord is seeking to accomplish tikkun olam, restoration of the world. He does not abandon the earth. He transforms it so that Jerusalem and the whole world one day will come under the sukkah of his presence, even as we are told in Isaiah chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. Then Adonai will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over all the glory will be a canopy. It will be a sukkah and shade from the heat of the day, and a refuge and a hiding place from the storm and the rain. Are we all getting this? We're not supposed to be escaping this world. If we experience anxiety, if we experience fear, the proper response is not to think, okay, where can I hide? Okay, where can I get away from it all? Okay, where can I find someone who will kind of put me in a bunker so that I can be safe? That is not the response that Yeshua wants us to have when we hear these rumors of war and these rumors of pestilence and these fears and these anxieties that are expressed by the world. Our response should be to go back into the world, to go right into the eye of the storm. As Yeshua said, I am sending you into the world. That is where he wants us to go. When we sit in a sukkah, when we eat in a sukkah, we are prophetically and proleptically pointing to that day when the kingdom of God is established on this earth like a giant sukkah from sea to sea. The sukkah is in reality a powerful symbol of God, our protector. Dwelling in the sukkah is a time to soak in the realization of this, that God is our protector, so that we can have the confidence to actively engage the world as disciples of Yeshua and to positively impact it with the love and the knowledge of God. Another way of putting it is that when we are in the sukkah of his presence, we arrive at a place of awareness that the scriptures, an awareness and a place, enlightenment, but that has kind of a Buddhist feeling to it, but an awareness, having the light from God in our eyes that the scriptures refer to as Yirei Adonai, the fear of the Lord, rather than the fear of men or the fear of disaster or the fear of the unknown. David, King David, who learned the lesson of the sukkah, understood this spiritual dynamic in his kishkas and writes in Psalm 112, verse 1 and verses 7 through 8, he says, "Blessed is the man who fears Adonai, Ashrei ish yarei et Adonai. He will have no fear of bad news." Let's all say that together. He will have no fear of bad news. One more time. He will have no fear of bad news. And let's continue reading. His heart is steadfast, trusting in Adonai. His heart is secure. He will have what? What does it say? One more time. No fear. When I was very little, I had repeated nightmares about being swallowed up by a big fish. Maybe I listened to too many readings of the story of Jonah on Yom Kippur. But I had these repeated nightmares, and this had a big effect on me. You know, I remember waking up in sweats and afraid. And when I did, I remember my father sitting by my bed and saying, "It's okay, David. I'm here." And then he would give me a big hug. "It's okay, David. Your daddy is here." In the same way, the Lord says to us in Isaiah 41, verses 11 and verse 13, we don't have this on the projection, but it says, God says to us, he says to the community of Israel, and we represent that community of Israel here in Richmond. He says, "Fear not, Tikvat Israel. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, each and every one of us here," God says, "for I am with you. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, Al tira, fear not, I will help you." I think that is a word of the Lord for each of us today. David writes that being in the sukkah of God's presence and hearing these words, "fear not," leads to experiencing the joy of the Lord. He says in Psalm 5, verse 11, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you." My brothers and sisters, let us enter into the fullness of the Festival of Sukkot this year by consciously being aware of how the sukkah imparts a grace of God's protection over our lives. let us soak in the reality that the sukkah is a reminder that the Lord watches over us. When we sit in the sukkah, we should sense God's protection all around us. Let us allow the fear of the Lord and the joy of the Lord to overflow in us so that as disciples of Yeshua, we might be living sukkahs like our master was, bringing God's light and God's life to a world that is desperately reaching out, for something more.